Welcome to the Israel Answers series, connecting Israel, the Bible, and you. Join Susan Michael as she explores timely issues and current events from a scriptural perspective to equip the Christian world with a balanced and biblical response. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes, which will ignite your faith and bring the Bible to life in your everyday world. Now, let's join Susan with your Israel Answers.
We are here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where we are not only meeting lots of friends and meeting new friends, but we're actually meeting up with colleagues. And I ran into my boss.
Hi, Susan.
The president of the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem is here from Israel, and his name is Dr. Jürgen Bühler. And so it's really nice to have you with us, Jürgen.
Thank you, Susan. Let me first correct what you said. Actually, Susan is my boss because she's serving on the board of the ICJ in Jerusalem, which hires me.
So. I'm on his board and he's on my board, so it goes both
we
ways.
Check each other, exactly.
Yes, but we have been so blessed to have your leadership at the ICJ for now 12 years?
12 years, yeah.
Wow, time really goes by when you're having fun.
He has
brought a really wonderful gifting to the ICEJ. And what I want to ask you about today is what I think that our listening audience will be very, very interested in, is the perspective that you bring to the work of the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem because of your background as a German. And you have a really interesting family story and history, and would you share with them just a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure, with pleasure. The reason I'm actually serving in Israel and why my wife and I, we moved to Israel 30 years ago, is goes back to the time of World War II, if you want. My father was a soldier of Adolf Hitler serving in the German army. And his mother was a very strong believer. She was praying every day for her son. My dad, in the last year of the war, became a prisoner of war, spent 4.5 years in a prison camp in Russia. And he almost died there. They suffered on malnourishment. Almost everybody got malaria and pneumonia. And one day it was hitting my dad, and he heard the doctor passing by his bed. He says, Bühler is going to die tonight. And he remembered the prayers of his mother. He always cursed her when he heard her praying. And they said, if you really are alive, if you really exist, if you bring me out from Russia back home, I'm going to become a pastor. And the Lord answered his prayers. And the next morning, the doctor came by, says, Bühler, you look much better, but you need a second miracle because the food that we give you is not enough to survive on. And maybe a week later, the chief doctor of the prison camp, which was a Jewish lady, she came into the camp. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of German soldiers in that prison camp. And she walked through this big hospital room and she stood in front of my dad's bed. I don't know why. And she asked, what does this man get for food? And the doctor said, well, like everybody else. And she said, you put him on special nourishment. This man needs to survive. And she walked out. He never saw her again, but he knew she was Jewish. And my dad since then always told us kids, he says, we as Bühlers, we live because of the Jewish people. We have a Jewish Messiah. And without this Jewish doctor, we as family wouldn't exist. So there was always from youth on this bond to the Jewish people. My dad later on, he brought my brother and me to an Israel tour to Israel. And that really, my heart caught fire with what I saw there. The Lord gave a calling on my life to return to Israel. Yeah. And in a way, you know, my father was serving in the Wehrmacht, the German Nazi army. And we moved to Israel 30 years ago. We have 4 children and 2 of his grandchildren. They are serving now in the IDF and they are defending Israel in the front lines.
Now that is amazing. Let me just repeat that. Your father was in the Nazi army.
That's right.
And his 2 grandsons are today serving in the Israel Defense Forces, in the Israeli army.
That's right. And one of them in Gaza at the front lines.
Wow, you can't make this up, you know. And you told me an amazing story about an American who's now serving in the Israel Defense Forces and the impact that your son had on him.
Yeah, we were visiting, this was just maybe a week before they moved the troops into Gaza, before the war really started. And we were visiting our boys somewhere out in the military camp in the middle of the desert. And we were just about to leave, and the guy was knocking at the window of the car. And he said, "You are Mr. Bühler, you are the father of Simon." I said, "Yes, that's who I am. Why are you asking?" He says, "My grandparents are Holocaust survivors. They lost the whole family in Auschwitz, and my grandfather and grandmother are the only survivors of both families." And he said, "I never wanted to talk to German people. I never wanted to have anything to do with them." And he says, "I would have never dreamt that one day I would fight in Israel side by side with a young German Christian to defend the nation of Israel." And he said, "Mr. Bühler, it's the greatest honor for me to fight with your boy to defend our nation." And that was for me really, like you said, you can't make those stories up. That's
and if
really touching.
Only your grandmother knew this, because all this really is an answer to her prayer that her son not only was saved and lived, but he had a family that then went on to be a blessing to the Jewish people. And so in your history also, you have observed a lot of political things, like, and you're too young to have observed World War II, but you heard about it from your father and from that generation. You've made a very, very strong and impactful statement about the role of the United States and the Allied forces in Europe, what they had to do to free your country from the Nazis,
yeah,
and how that compares to what's happening in Gaza.
Yeah, you know, if you are looking at the imagery that is coming out of Gaza with the cities that are completely leveled and where you don't find a house that is still intact, and the media around the world, they are shouting, "Look at those atrocities." Some people even speak about genocide. But as a German, when I saw that those images, they reminded me of World War II. And honestly, if you look at the cities of Berlin or Hamburg or Dresden, they look much worse than what you see today in Gaza. And my father always told me, he says, "You know, we need to thank the American government, because first of all, they brought our nation to the knees in order to make sure there's no remnant of any Nazi ideology remaining in Germany. And then out of the ashes, in a way, through the Marshall Plan, they were rebuilding Germany to one of the most successful democracies in the world today." And I think this is the opportunity that you have today exactly in Gaza. You have a very strong, forceful invasion of Israel. And what needs to come now is a similar plan that I believe should be led politically by Israel, but they need help from around the world to build up a society where you look in one generation from now, they want to live in peace with Israel, where the school system is being reformed. And honestly, it's also a great opportunity for missionaries to reach Gaza. This is one of the least reached people groups in the whole world. And I think this is now a golden opportunity for the first time to bring missionaries in big numbers in and tell them about the hope of Jesus Christ. And you know what is amazing? Many years ago, I met a common friend, Rabbi Benny Elon. Was actually my first meeting with him. He was serving as the Minister of Tourism at that time. And I never forget his very first encounter with him. He says, "Jürgen, you are from Germany, you are Christian, I have one request from you." And I wondered what his request was, and he says, "Please send more missionaries in the Arab world." And here was a rabbi asking us Christians to send missionaries. And I said, "Sir, did I understand you correctly? And he said, yes, it's very simple, because if they believe what you believe, we will have peace in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the opportunity we have right now. And I pray that it will happen.
Yes. Well, you're going to say you've been in your position 12 years now, but you've lived in Israel how many years?
Like 30 years. Now. This year will be 30 years.
What kind of changes have you seen happening in Israel, and especially since October the 7th?
Well, Israel changed dramatically. I think the Israel that we that will emerge after the war is over of October 7 will be a complete different nation. Number one, what we do see is that people become more religious. Let me give you an example of my son. When he joined the IDF, he was telling me, Daddy, I asked him, how are people praying? And he said that maybe 10% of our colleagues are getting up in the morning and praying, but 90% they don't pray. Once the war started, I talked to him about that. He says, Daddy, it's not exactly the opposite. Maybe 10% are not praying, but 90% are up in the morning. They put up the prayer shawl and they are praying. And so Israel is becoming more religious. Secondly, Israel also is moving away from the leftist liberal ideologies that they had, the hope that there is a partner for peace with the Palestinian people. You know, you have to understand the workers that are working in the Gaza envelope, that are cleaning the houses, doing the gardens, that were earning a lot of money where they could feed several families back in Gaza. It was a major lifeline for many people. Those same people that earned a lot of money from Israel and fed for more than 10 years their family, they wrote the blueprints of the kibbutz. And they said, which house in the kibbutz have weapons? Where is the bomb shelter in which house? Where to attack first? And so the people who live there, they feel totally betrayed. And like one of the friends we have, she's a lady, she's active in the a very leftist peace now movement. That means she was willing to make any compromise with the Palestinians. She turned around exactly in the opposite. She said, we realize there is no partner for peace and we have to do our own thing. So what will come out of the elections, we don't know, but it will definitely be a shift to the right. It will be a more religious nation. And I believe also is that they will appreciate more than ever before the impact of Christians. They told me repeatedly, our best friends and the only people who really support us today in this critical time are evangelical Christians around the world.
Yes, and we're seeing that even here in America, that there's just a deepening relationship between Jews and Christians at this time, because they really do recognize that we are their only friends, and they really need our friendship, they need our help and our support. So tell me a little bit about the work of the ICEJ and how have you seen it develop? And do you see a shift? Will there be any kind of shift there if Israel is a completely different nation now than it was 40 years ago when we were formed? How does that impact our work?
Well, I think our work will go out significantly strengthened out of that crisis. And in a way, I was telling you that before, we are in a way reaping right now the fruits of the sowing of almost four decades in the land of Israel. And for example, it was especially in the Gaza envelope, where those communities were the most hit by those atrocities of October 7. We know every single of the leaders of the home front command, of the security command. We know the people who are working in running hospitals, who are running security operations to keep those areas protected. And our work there, the bomb shelters, and we gave out special communication equipment that was basically meant to fight fires, because there were those balloons coming over and we wanted them to be able to quickly communicate in order to get the fire brigade in. on the morning of October 7, exactly those devices that were purposed for firefighting, they saved, according to their own words, thousands of lives in the Gaza envelope. And we never would have imagined what this would do. So today, when we go into those communities, it really feels like we are family. They don't see, oh, these are the Christians coming in. They know these are the people who stood with us for more than a decade, built our bomb shelters, saved our lives, and there is a whole new level of cooperation. The same we see in the government. There's hardly any government office that is not working with us right now. Mm-hmm. They are opening all the doors. And I believe after the war, the relationship between Christians and our work and the government of Israel, and even, you know, on every level of the society, will be much stronger than it was before.
Wonderful. Well, Jürgen, as we close, I want to ask you to tell one more story. There was a resident of the Gaza envelope who you actually spoke to on October 7th, and he was saying there's terrorists here and whatever. But you have a unique story to tell of when he called you about 10 years ago.
Well, it wasn't just a resident. He was a former member of Knesset, or he was actually at that time still a member of Knesset. And he was also the head of the regional council of the Sha'ar HaNegev. It's a community of, I believe, 10 or 15 kibbutzim. And he was the head of that regional council. And I knew him by a few conversations, but I didn't even have his phone number. We didn't talk on a regular basis. I was on a preaching tour in Germany, and suddenly I saw this Israeli number calling me, and I picked it up. And he said, "Do I talk to Jürgen Bühler?" And I said, "Yes, that's me. How can I help you?" He says, "Jürgen, you just saved my life." And he said, "Well, sir, I'm not sure if that's possible because I'm in Germany right now." And he said, and he introduced himself, "I'm Shai Harmish. I'm the head of the regional council. I'm a member of Knesset. We just had a red alert, a warning of rockets coming in Kfar Aza. I was running to the next bomb shelter. That bomb shelter took a direct hit from a missile. And inside I was reading a sign, this bomb shelter was donated by the Christian embassy. Says, if this bomb shelter wouldn't have been there, I would have been killed today." And since then, we have become very close friends. On October 7th, actually, I called him three times and I said, "Shai, how are you doing?" And he was hidden his own bomb shelter in the house. And he was literally panicking. He said, "Jürgen, they are shooting outside. Terrorists are killing our civilians. There's nothing I can do to protect my people. Jürgen, where is the army? Where is the army?" And I called him two more times and I got the same frustrated call from him. And I sensed the fear of death that was upon him. And there is a relationship with those communities that really goes back for many years and that does save life. And that's thanks to donations from Christians around the world.
Yes. And he did survive.
He did survive, exactly.
And we are right now doing a lot of fundraising to place more bomb shelters, not only in the south, but in the north.
Yeah.
And we're helping with the families that have been evacuated from their homes in there. And we have boots on the ground, as they say, through the staff of the ICEJ, bringing assistance wherever we can. And so we invite our listening audience to click on the link in the show notes and become a part of a blessing Israel through the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem. You can send your donation today.
Yeah, and if I can add, you know, what makes our work in Jerusalem so unique is that whenever we are doing something on the ground, and our team is now every single week out on the field helping the communities around Gaza, visiting them in the hotels where they are, visiting the communities in the north. We are doing right now a lot of trauma treatment with Israelis. But whatever we are doing, we make sure they understand this is only possible because Christians are supporting us from around the world. And that's such an incredible testimony that they have this witness that they are Christians. session, standing with them in the United States, in Nashville, and whatever the city they might
come
from.
Well, it's an important part of what we do, because we don't just provide assistance. We provide it with a word of encouragement and comfort, letting them know that there are millions of Christians around the world who love them and support them and are praying for them, and we're just their representatives there, and we're delivering this aid on behalf of those Christians. And it brings such comfort and encouragement to the people when they know that.
Amen.
So we want to thank you, Jürgen, for your leadership there and for all that you do through the ICEJ.
It's an honor to do that. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us and sharing with our audience.
Thanks, Susan. God bless you and your great nation.
Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Out of Zion with Susan Michael. Be sure to subscribe to Out of Zion now on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen and learn. Out of Zion with Susan Michael is a production of ICEJ USA, all rights reserved.